Please open your Bible along with me to the 28th chapter of Genesis. And I'm going to read from Genesis 28 and beginning with verse 10 and on through 22. Hear now the Word of God. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night, because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone which he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've been rereading Genesis because I've been on a one-year Bible plan, which I would recommend to you. And there's lots of plans out there. You can find them online. And it's not too late to jump in. We're still early in the year, so you can get caught up. But I've have reread Genesis because I'm on this plan, and have been becoming reacquainted with those great figures, the patriarchs, among whom Jacob is perhaps the sleaziest. This guy is, well, as my granddad would have said, slicker than snot on a doorknob. He had cheated his brother. If you remember the story, Jacob has a twin named Esau. And they fought even in the womb. They're classic brothers. They fought even in the womb. And when Esau was born first, Jacob came out holding on to his heel. And that's telling. In the ancient world, they practiced what's called primogeniture, which is the firstborn. The firstborn son inherits everything. And so because the inheritance is supposed to be coming to Esau, Jacob has to use all of his powers of trickery and sleaziness to grasp what he wants, which is the inheritance, the birthright. And you may remember the story that when their father Isaac was quite old and his eyesight had failed, Jacob tricked his father when Esau was out hunting, which he loved to do. And remember, Esau was a hairy man and Jacob was a smooth man. And Jacob took a woolly piece of animal skin and put it on his arm and fooled Dad into thinking that he was Esau and said, "Bless me." And the old man gave him the blessing that should have gone to Esau. And once that was spoken, it could not be revoked. So Esau, when he discovers this, is enraged and wants to kill his brother and takes off after him. And so now Jacob is on the run. He's exhausted. He's desperate. He's trying to get as far away from his brother as he possibly can get, so he's way out in the boonies. He's so exhausted, he falls down to sleep and has a dream. Now, there's a number of surprises about this dream. At the center of this dream is a promise from God. "I will bless you, and I will..." Now, remember who's the recipient of this promise. "I will bless you, and I will keep you, and I will bring you back to this land where you think you've landed by accident, and I will give you this land, and your descendants are going to be like the dust of the earth, and through you," and you can hear the echoes of the promise to Abraham, "through you and your offspring, all of the families of the earth will be blessed." Now, that's really surprising for a number of reasons. First of all, that this promise, "I will bless you, I will keep you, I will bring you back to this land," comes to one of the sleaziest characters in the Old Testament. If you think that the Bible is a series of stories about really good people that God blessed because they were so good, Jacob will quickly disabuse you of that thought. His name, in fact, his name was given to him at his birth. It means literally heel grabber, because remember, he grasped at his brother's heel. And to grab the heel is Hebrew idiom for cheater. His name is Cheater. Now, God's going to give him a new name. We'll get to that next week. We're headed into tax season. Not that there's a segue here or anything. But you may have heard about the guy who he wrote a letter to the IRS, and it was this kind of long confession. And he said, the letter said, I cannot sleep nights. My conscience is just convicting me. So I've enclosed a check made out to the IRS. I've enclosed a check for $200. P.S. If I still can't sleep nights, I'll send the rest. That's Jacob. He'll take any angle that he can get what he wants. And so the great surprise of God's love, and by the way, God had a blessing for his brother Esau too. But the great surprise of Jacob is that God extends grace to him. Second, God spoke to him in a really surprising place, an unexpected place. Jacob is on the run. He doesn't expect to meet God out in the boonies. The ancient world had beliefs And this shouldn't come as surprising to us because many people have very similar beliefs today. The ancient world believed that you would meet God or the gods in a temple, in a holy place. Or perhaps, among the pagan religions, you would meet God on what were called the high places, on a mountaintop, particularly, were regarded as places of great spiritual power. And that's where you would go to meet God. And you certainly wouldn't meet God just out in nowhere. But it's surprising, this place where Jacob is so exhausted, he pulls up a rock for a pillow. This is where he meets God. And it's a reminder you can meet God anywhere because God will meet you anywhere. Even when you're on the run. Even when you're running away from something in your life. Even when you're running away from your own guilt. God will meet you and interrupt your life. Because God loves you. God can track you down anywhere, sometimes even in church. And of course, then God makes this incredibly surprising promise to Jacob. In his dream, well, first of all, there's the promise. And then this dream that Jacob has, this really strange dream. He sees a ladder, which may not be the world's best translation. It could also be translated stairway or ramp. He sees that we've always thought of it as this ladder that connects heaven and earth. And angels ascending, going up, and descending. In other words, angels busy going up and down this ladder. And the Lord from the top speaks. But the angels are the messengers of God. And so what it means, and Jacob immediately as he wakes up grasps the meaning, that heaven and earth are connected. We sometimes tend to think, even us modern folk tend to think that God is very distant from us. That God is way off on the other end of the universe somewhere, minding the store. That God has incredibly important business to take care of from heaven. And wherever that is, it's far, far away. But Jacob has this dream that says, no, heaven and earth are connected. And that end of that ladder comes right down to where he is. And, of course, it's about 2,000 years later that a young Israelite is sitting under a tree. Perhaps he's praying. Perhaps he was thinking about Jacob's ladder. We don't know. And he was interrupted by a friend who invited him to come meet Jesus. And Jesus saw him coming, saw Nathanael coming, and said, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. That means an Israelite in whom there is no deceit, which is kind of interesting. Contrast to deceitful Jacob, to whom grace is extended anyway. And Jesus made this astonishing claim. You will see the heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus is the ladder who connects, he's the connection, the bridge that connects heaven and earth. To discover the nearness of God for us, this side of the cross and resurrection of Jesus, is to know that Jesus has brought God near for us. Jesus is the bridge who gives us access to God. Now, I want to focus in, before we close here, on this promise that's given to Isaac which is ours in Jesus Christ. By faith in Jesus, this promise is ours. I will be with you. That's a remarkable promise. It's the same promise that God made to Moses. When God spoke to Moses and said, I want you to go lead my people out of slavery in Egypt. I want you to go to Pharaoh and demand that he let my people go. And Moses, of course, protested, I can't do this. And God's response was, I will be with you. It's the same promise that God gave to Joshua. Remember, after Moses died, and it's the end of the 40 years wandering. And now Joshua has taken over the leadership of the people. And God says to Joshua, I want you to go in and take possession of this land. There's some people who are already there, and they're pretty powerful, and they're kind of mean. But you go in and you do it. Because I will be with you. And in Jesus Christ, that promise is true for you and me. Remember that Jesus promised just before he ascended into heaven, Jesus said to his followers, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth, and I am with you. I think that's a great promise, not only for us as individuals, but as a church. We're kind of in an in-between place now, aren't we? Kind of like Jacob, who went out into the wilderness and found himself homeless with no place but a rock to put his head. That's kind of us as a church, isn't it? Well, this is a lot better than a rock. But we don't have the rain coming down on us. So boy, be thankful for what we have. But we're in an in-between place right now, aren't we? The Lord says, I will be with you. Someday we're going to have a place to call home. Between now and then, let's relearn and never forget. I will be with you. And second, the second part of the promise, and this is the part we often just skip right over, I will keep you. I'm not just going to be alongside you, I'm going to keep you. And this is what got me thinking about that great, it's called the Aaronic blessing from Numbers chapter 6. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Well, what does that mean? Well, I got to thinking about that this week. How can I help you understand this? And it got me thinking about, and if you've hung around me very long, you've heard this story before, but be patient with me. I've gone rock climbing once in my life. I was in college and young and really stupid. And I've been rock climbing once in my life. And I was told, and thankfully I was led in this adventure by a guy who really was a really good rock climber. And he said, before we even went, he said, you haven't really been rock climbing until you've prayed, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll never go rock climbing again. So I went and I prayed that prayer and I've kept that promise. That's one promise to the Lord that's been inviolable. But anyway, We did this thing, and some of you, if you've ever done it, even really basic rock climbing, you've done this. It's called belaying. There's somebody at the top of the cliff who's the belayer, and they're anchored to a rock that can't move. They are tied by a rope, or either you drive a stake into the ground, and they have a rope around their back, and they'll let out rope. And the rope, it goes down to the climber so that as you make your way up the cliff, the person who's belaying pulls up the slack so that if you fall, which I did, you just go boing and you bounce on the end of that rope. And if you've swung out away from the cliff where you were so that you can't even reach it anymore, that's the really humiliating thing. You just have to say, could you just kind of pull me up? Or actually what they then, because it would take, you know, I weighed a little bit more. I weighed about 210 pounds back then, which, you know, you don't really, you know, you get let down. May the Lord bless you and keep you. If you belong to Jesus Christ by faith, and all it takes is faith, that you put your trust in Him, receive Him as your Lord and Savior, there's a belaying rope on you. It doesn't mean you're protected from every danger. It doesn't mean that no evil can befall you. It means that God's protection is over you for eternity, that nothing can separate you from His love, that He will complete in you what He's begun, and that He guards you, He keeps you for eternity. And yeah, one day every one of us is going to pass through the valley of death. But God's belaying rope is around us. He will keep you. And then the final part of the promise, I will bring you home. And the Lord didn't put it in those words to Jacob, but it was, I'm going to bring you back to this place, this land that you thought you wandered into is going to be your home. It was the land of Canaan. And so I just want to leave you with this, because we run out of time. Christ Presbyterian Church, let's trust together that the Lord has not led us out to this in-between place to abandon us here. The Lord is going to lead us to a home, to a permanent home for this church. Well, actually, it probably won't be permanent. It may be a way station along the way. Who knows what God has in store for the adventure out in front of us. But trust in this, that the Lord who's led us this far is faithful, and He will lead us home. Would you bow with me for prayer? Mighty God, I thank You. We thank You together for the great promise You made to this undeserving servant, Jacob. But in response to Your grace to him and Your undeserved love extended to him, he woke up and made a vow that he would serve You, that he would offer himself fully to You. Lord, in response to Your great love, we would offer the same. We are weak and broken people, but Lord, You've extended Your love to us. You've given us the gift of Jesus, Your Son. We offer now ourselves to You. And help us to trust as individuals and as a church. We're in Your hands. You have blessed us and You will keep us. And You will bring us home. And I pray it all in the name of Jesus and for His sake. Amen.